This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream.
Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard or Dibs today. Willard will be back tomorrow. Until then, it's Mark Randy, Evan Giddings holding it down for you until 6 o'clock here on this Thursday. We just got a little bit of NBA news during that commercial break, Evan. I don't know exactly what to make of it. This comes courtesy of Shams Charania of ESPN. New Orleans Pelicans forward Herb Jones has agreed to a 3-year, $68 million contract extension with the franchise. He was previously under contract for $14 million and then $14.9 million for the next 2 years. You add on three more years beyond that at about, what, $22, $23 million per year. So he gets a nice raise there. And the bad news for Warrior fans is there was a number of Warrior fans, and I was one of them, hopeful that maybe the Pelicans would do something stupid and would be willing to part with one of their young wings in part of a Jonathan Kuminga sign and trade. It seems less likely now that the Pelicans, they just tied up one of them, Herb Jones, for a number more years.
Yeah, I kind of think what's stupid is them thinking that they're just going to win.
Like, they have talent, but it's a really weird team.
Well, but that's the thing, is their entire offseason is, it looks like they think that they're going to be a playoff team and just win, which is all dependent on Zion Williamson's health. If he's not on the floor, they're not going to win much. I don't know who they think that Herb Jones combined with Trey Murphy combined with Jordan Poole and everyone else they have is.
DeJounte Murray coming off of an Achilles.
Yeah, at some point this season he'll return. Yeah. And their center, was it Misi?
Eve Misi.
Misi, yep. is a nice piece. But, you know, I think it's... I think Joe Dumars is rushing things a little bit in New Orleans, and that was evident by trading next year's first-round pick. It's just, I think it's kind of a gamble, you know, and if they did want to trade Herb Jones, by the way, it doesn't really change what his value is because he's still under contract, I think, for $14 and then $15 million the next couple seasons. He just gets a little more financial commitment from them and some more cushion.
You probably can't trade him, though. Once you sign an extension for what, like another 6 months? So it would have to be
the deadline.
There's no sign and trade with Kuminga happening this offseason for Herb Jones. But I suppose you're right. It could happen in the future. Not that I ever felt like that was going to happen. Like if you were to ask Warrior fans, like you can dream. obviously, like, take Giannis off the table, but you can dream, like, what would you think or what would you really hope that you could get back in a Jonathan Kuminga sign and trade? Herb Jones was, like, the name that I would circle. Not that I ever thought that it was possible, but in terms of a guy that's on a pretty fair contract and is young and talented and would really help the Warriors, that's Herb Jones. But now that's not happening, at least not this offseason. So we can cross that off the list.
Yeah, him or Coby White, I think, would be another player. Because there's not a ton of guys that right now make, what was it, Herb's 14.
Yeah.
Coby is still around 18 in that, you know, mid-teens level of money and are really good players. You know, price of the brick's going up. And I think we saw that from Devin Booker, and that means all those middle-sized contracts are also rising. You know, contracts that are like $20, $30 million are not really that much.
Let's talk about the Devin Booker contract, because this happened last night or yesterday, and it absolutely, I don't know if it didn't shock me. This is just the way of the world in the NBA, and I guess in sports in general, too. It's the same thing with the quarterback market in the NFL, and I guess even the same in, like, the wide receiver market in the NFL, although it feels like the wide receiver market has kind of burst. That bubble might have burst. But Devin Booker signed a two-year, $145 million contract extension that is $72.5 million AAV, average annual value, per year, $72.5 million per year, surpassing Shai Gilgeous-Alexander's $71.25 million AAV when he signed his $285 million contract over 4 years. And my first thought, Evan, when seeing this Devin Booker contract was, congratulations to the Suns and to Devin Booker. I don't think they're ever going to win. Because I don't know, in today's CBA, when you see what's happening to Jonathan Kuminga and to Josh Giddey and to these other players who are, you know, quality players who should be making a decent chunk of money, they can't find a single suitor. And now you're going to pay Devin Booker, no doubt a very, very, very good player. But he's not a player who I necessarily think is going to win a championship anywhere near by himself. He's not a LeBron or a Steph. He's not a guy who elevates a team the way those guys do. You sign a guy like that to this kind of money in today's CBA landscape, this feels like a losing strategy to me.
I don't think it's even a CBA thing. Like, Devin Booker's a great number two. If he's your number one, I think your team has a ceiling. And, like, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Of the top 15 players, top 15 paid players last year.
AAV last year.
AAV last year, 2004-25 season.
Okay.
How many players do you think made the conference finals?
So we're talking
about...
How
many of those 15?
We're talking about Minnesota, OKC, the Knicks, and the Pacers.
How many top 15 players do you think were on those four teams?
Okay, no one on OKC because no one had signed their gigantic deals. Minnesota, Ant doesn't have his gigantic one yet, so not Ant. I don't think Julius Randle is making enough to be top 15. So I would say Rudy Gobert. I don't think Rudy Gobert is top 15 either. That contract was signed too long ago. I would say nobody in Minnesota. Indiana, nobody. The Knicks, Brunson just got one, but if memory serves, he took a major discount to help New York. Cat? Is it just Cat?
Cat's the only player.
Only top 15 highest paid player to make the conference finals.
Yes.
Wow.
Players that are max salary guys, their teams are not competing. They just aren't. And I didn't have time to go back through the last couple of years, but I don't necessarily think it's just a new CBA thing. It's just when your players make so much, it's really hard to compete. Like, when you have guys that eat up 25 to 30% of the salary cap, even pre-new CBA, your team's got to be really damn good. Hmm. You know, and I think the new CBA, to me, shortens the lifespan of those kinds of groups because you have to pivot like the Celtics did maybe earlier than you'd like to. But going into next year, Curry, AD, Giannis, Jokic, Embiid, Durant, Butler, Tatum, Brown, Cat are the top 10 highest paid players. I would say only one of them is on a consensus top four team. Maybe two. Jokic and Durant.
Those stood out
and
to
it's because and it's because Durant changed locales. Like, that's it. It's just it. So I'm with you. The original point was the moment Devin Booker signs that contract, they are done. And I'm with you. Devin Booker is not going to win a championship with the Suns. And I think it's as much because it's just it's impossible to win when you have these kinds of max salary players.
It, like, the way that you can do it, like, OKC is trying to do it. Like, they just won their championship, and they have an opportunity to win a couple more. And this next year, all the extensions that they just signed will not have kicked in yet. But, of course, they signed Shai Gilgeous-Alexander to that gigantic deal, 4 years, $285 million. And then recently, including signing Jalen Williams to his max rookie extension today, they give both Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams $240 million over 5 years, the most they could have possibly offered those guys. So you're talking about over the lifetime of those contracts, AAV, and it's not always split up evenly. Like, these are backloaded to match with the ever, increasing salary cap. But AAV for those three contracts, you have $48 million per year for both Chet and Jalen Williams, and then you have $71.25 million per year for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. OKC is going to be in a spot where you have those three guys for the life of those deals, unless they trade one of them, which is possible, and then you are just going to have to fill out the rest of your roster with cheap, cost-efficient, and draft picks. Now, OKC is in a situation where they can actually make this work for an extended period, because they have all their draft, they have all those draft picks. They have 14 first round picks in the next 2 years. But you talk about any other team who is in a similar situation to OKC, you got three potential like max contracts to give out. Boston was in a similar spot. They don't have the draft picks to make the rest of the roster work. They need high priced guys to fill out the rest of the roster. OKC can do it maybe with their draft picks. I don't think there's any other situation in the NBA where a team can say, we're going to do what OKC did. OKC is so unique that they're going to pay max money to those three guys and then just keep churning young draft picks. But don't use OKC as your path, because no one can replicate what they've done.
Well, I mean, I would also say that Chet and J-Dub, though, that's the rookie scale max.
Yes.
So it's not like you have... Like, they're still not going to be, by the time that extension kicks in, I don't think they're going to be top 10 paid players. It's a lot of money, but what it does cost you is Lu Dort, who's a free agent in 2 years.
Hartenstein
is a free agent in 2 years. I think Cason Wallace is a restricted free agent in 2 years.
Yep.
At that point, Caruso's going to be 33 or 34, still under contract. I don't know if he's going to be a great defender at that stage in his career.
Isaiah Joe in a couple of years.
Well, Joe and Wiggins, they managed to lock up relatively early, but I think Joe comes up in a couple of years, and then Wiggins is under contract. So, like, you have some guys, but it means that you have to hit on those draft picks. It's just why putting together a dynasty is so damn hard, because the few draft picks you do have, you have to hit on, because you have to replenish your pool of talent. And the Thunder have a very tight window, I think, to do it. And the clock is now ticking the moment they pay these guys.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station, and the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. The way my mind works is you have a drastic change to a sport, and I think that's what this new CBA is. And you're probably right that gigantic, record-breaking money to a guy that isn't, like, maybe one of the five best players to ever play the game is a losing proposition. And, oh, by the way, like, we can be real. Paying LeBron $70 million a year, which is what Shai is going to be making at the end of the deal, paying Steph $70 million a year at their age, that's also a losing proposition. Like, those two guys are two of the 10 best, maybe five best of all time. you're not winning when those guys are late 30s, maybe even early 40s, making that much money either. But the way my mind works, Evan, when I see something like that, the Devin Booker contract, for example, and I my first thought is, bad deal. I don't see how Phoenix is ever going to be able to compete with that. Devin, enjoy your money, but you're not going to get a ring there in Phoenix or wherever else you go maybe with that contract. My mind then goes to, okay, well, what's the right strategy? Like, what should Phoenix have done? Should Phoenix have traded Devin Booker? Should they refuse to extend him? Should they move off of an asset at an all-time high? Because what we're seeing in sports today, and this NBA conversation is more of a macro view as opposed to, like, in baseball, three true outcomes, right? That's been the big development of the last, like, 10 years. It's no adjustments on a two-strike count. Like, you're swinging for the fences. You either draw a walk, you strike out, or you hit a homer. That's what the math and the analytics have determined is the best avenue for success. That's the strategy. Three true outcomes. In the NBA, it's been the three-point revolution, like the death of the mid-range shot. Mathematically, the best path to winning basketball games is only shooting in the paint and at the three-point line. I think we're currently witnessing the same thing in the NFL. I think in the NFL, it's aggressiveness on fourth downs. I think teams are realizing there is an unseen or previously untapped place for extra offensive possessions and points there. In the NBA, I wonder how the league will adapt to the new CBA and what will be like the new peak strategy. Is it avoiding $70, $80, $90 million contracts for guys? And is it trying to spread the wealth on a deeper roster? Like, I'm just spitballing here. I don't know what the best strategy is. But if this new CBA stays, I think we will see a shift in how teams build their rosters.
Yeah, I mean, well, building rosters is one thing, but I think rewarding players that you drafted is another. Like, Booker's a son for life.
Yeah.
I think there is value in having a guy wearing one jersey.
There's an emotional tie there, no doubt.
Yeah, but if you're the Suns, like, wrecking... well, they're in a unique spot because they don't really have a lot to work with. But
no.
I think they decided that it's better to keep Devin Booker happy. Pay him basically. I mean, these contracts are kind of getting like the quarterback market. It's not necessarily the best player. It's just the guy who's next up and next in line to get his bag. Devin Booker's, I don't know, maybe a top 15 player, but certainly not a top 5 guy. So the Suns decided it's worth it to pay him, see what you have in Jalen Green, lean into the few young guys that you do have. Maybe Dylan Brooks can help you be semi-competitive next season and try and do the best with what you can. And that's the sacrifice that they made when they gave up basically everything to try and bring Durant and Beal and Booker together. So what were they supposed to do? I actually think that this is probably the right choice considering their position. You know, meanwhile, the Warriors have to figure out what they're going to do. Like, Curry to me is not necessarily the topic. But Butler's contract, I think, next season is going to come under a lot of scrutiny because he's going to be a top, like, 12, 10 paid player. And I think it's going to be really hard for him to justify that contract unless the Warriors go at least as far as they did this season, which is tough to do in the Western Conference.
And we got a text that comes in from the 408 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. Booker was a backup in college. He earned this. Yeah, I'm not upset at Booker for accepting the contract. I told him, enjoy your money. I hope you enjoy the money because I don't think you're going to win a championship. That's well within his rights to do that. I just don't see it as a winning strategy. And I get there's a lot of emotions involved in it. And this is the same thing that a lot of conversations that we had on these airwaves as recently as last year as it relates to Steph Curry. And what do you do? Is it best for you to trade Steph, right? Like those conversations happened on this station a year ago. I don't think anyone here really thought that was ever going to happen, and it never is. But I guess my question comes from, all right, it's one thing if you're interested in doing maybe what's best for your bottom line financially. And if you think having a player like Devin Booker retire a Sun is the best thing for you financially, then you're motivated to do that. But if you're trying to do the best for your team in terms of winning basketball games, I can't possibly look at that Devin Booker contract and say that's going to help you win a ton of basketball games, because what we're looking at is the majority of your cap space tied up on one player, and I can't see a way that you're going to be able to put together a complementary roster alongside him to actually win basketball games once he's making $64 and $70 million per year.
Well, let's just look at the Phoenix Suns, for example. Last season with KD, Booker, Beal, and a bunch of other people, they were 10 games below 500.
Yep.
Do you think they're going to win more, same amount, or less games next season?
Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and they're probably going to cut Bradley Beal and buy him out at some point, so they might not have Beal anymore. Booker, Jalen Green, Dylan Brooks, and a couple of others, probably around the same.
Yeah, I think they might even be better next season. And they're probably going to be spending less. Like, so keeping Booker on that team, he gets you to around the same result. You'd have him anyways, but getting off of him in the near future doesn't accomplish anything to me. Like, that's a situation where it's a albatross deal, and it is way too much money for a player who's not a top five guy. But on that team, that contract makes sense. Same for Steph Curry and his current contract. The issue is that the Suns had too many of those contracts. Like, they had to get off of one of them.
They had three of them.
And in fact, they're actually going to get off two. So
Beal as well. Yeah.
Like, I actually don't think that what the Suns did this offseason is that stupid. I think they're moving in the right direction. But you can't wholesale pull the plug on something and just rewrite what you got. I think that Devin Booker is somebody that the Suns probably think is a cornerstone piece, but also probably a good culture guy. I mean, I don't think there's been that many big issues about Devin Booker in his career. Most notable thing is probably who he dates. But, like, Devin Booker's a good dude. I would want him on my team. And the Suns aren't, they wouldn't be better without him. So you pay him what the going rate is. And in the process, you also escalate that future value for every other player in the future. So I think it's kind of a win-win, but I mean, you're right. Like, Phoenix isn't going to win anything next year, but I also completely understand why they paid him.
Well, I mean, I guess it's just a question of what your priorities are. Are your priorities trying to set your team up for future success and winning basketball games, or are your priorities keeping your bottom line going and maybe doing a little bit of fan service?
But if in those years I told you that the Suns don't have a first-round pick,
how do you get those back? By trading Devin Booker.
But you only got one first for KD.
You get more for Devin Booker.
I mean, that much more?
We'd have to see. I mean, Desmond Bane got, what, four firsts?
Yeah, and if you could
a younger player who's still an amazing player and does the most important skill in the league at a very high level, shooting the three ball, hey, he'd get you a lot.
But if you're, let's say you're sending Booker, let's say they traded him to the Rockets instead of Durant.
Okay.
The Rockets are going to be pretty good. So those first round picks are going to be not as good as you think they are.
True.
And then you're reliant on hitting on players in the teens and maybe even the 20s for those first rounders. And you just gave up a fabric of your franchise. Maybe the best player that's ever been a Phoenix Sun when you consider his like career accomplishments. Yeah. So to me, that's what you're weighing. And I don't think that moving Devin Booker would help them move any closer towards winning. It helps you move closer towards ground zero, but you don't know if that's going to be anything. You're just like, you're banking on these picks that are coming from Houston or even the Magic, who, by the way,
they're going to be good
now, 325 and unders, or maybe Bay might be 26. But the point is, like, those picks aren't going to be great.
No, you're right. But like, having picks doesn't mean you're making all of those picks. Like, you use that as fuel to go and get somebody else or to go and move up in a singular draft and then pick somebody good. Like, just having your war chest full does not mean you're using all those individual assets to pick players yourself. This really, to me, has less to do with the Suns specifically. Like, I don't blame the Suns for extending Devin Booker, and that money doesn't kick in for a few years from now anyway. And by the time that comes around, the salary cap will continue to increase and all of this. But considering what we're watching right now, like, the Boston Celtics are a great example. The Boston Celtics won a championship, and then they went to the playoffs. They were going to get eliminated, and then while they were in the process of being eliminated, Jason Tatum tore his Achilles. And they suddenly say, oh my God, we just won a championship. We still might have the best roster in basketball, but our star, who's making a ton of money, is out for an entire season, and we have one of, if not the most expensive rosters in the league. We have to do a hard reset. We have to do a partial reset. We got to just ship off money as best as we possibly can to get ourselves out of the second apron, out of the first apron, and just into the tax to give ourselves a break until we reset and go for it again next year. That's the reality that teams with multiple gigantic contracts are looking at. If one thing goes wrong, even 1 year after winning a championship, the owners will say, and also the decision makers in the front office, because of the penalties of being in the second apron multiple years, they will say, we have to trade or dump all of these players that we still all believe are quality and can help us win, because we don't think we can win it this year. Even if we kept everybody intact, we could win it again 2 years from now. That's the reality that these teams are looking at. And the more that you have these gigantic deals on your ledger, the more likely you will get to a point where if one thing goes wrong, you have to scrap almost the whole plan and sell somebody for pennies on the dollar.
Yeah, I guess that's where I'd push back, is that if you're looking at the Celtics, is Drew Holiday at age 36 still going to be a championship player? I think that's
not if he's like a 1, 2, or 3 on your team, but I think he absolutely could still help you win a championship, yeah.
Yeah, but he had to be the fourth best player on their team. I think the Celtics got off of Drew Holiday because they saw an opportunity to, and they were willing to bite the bullet for another, for this season, obviously, to compete for a championship and maybe even next season. But he's got 2 years after that on his deal also. And if they decided that Drew's not going to be a championship point guard at age 36, then this is a perfect opportunity to jump ship. Meanwhile, Porzingis, you can make an argument they won a championship without him, considering how much he played, but he's been injury prone, and they also probably decided they didn't want to extend him. So this is a chance to trade and get off of him. So I think it's, you're right, like the Celtics did retool or reshuffle the books, but I think they also saw a chance to, all right, if we are going to compete in another year, like, these are the guys that are going to help us the least and that we're probably going to have to replace somehow. So next season, let's see if Peyton Pritchard is good enough to be our starting point guard of the future, who we rewarded with a long-term deal. The center position, they really got to figure out, because they didn't just lose Porzingis. They are going to lose Horford, and then Cornette signed with the Spurs. Yep. But that's a position they got to figure out. I just feel like Boston looked ahead and was like, well, shoot, next season we can't get it done, but our three guys, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and Derek White, are still going to be in their primes. And if we can figure out the other two spots, we got action. You know, I don't know if it's necessarily a like an indictment on like the lay of the land, but part of it is also, hey, if they're a second apron team, their first round pick gets frozen in the future. And that's not a way. That's a way that they can't retool down the line. They also can't aggregate contracts in a deal, which is something they'll probably have to do if they want to acquire a center or maybe a future point guard. So you're right. Like the CBA is restrictive. I don't think it's been that big of a deal to have big contract players now compared to like 5 years ago. You know, like having max slot salary players has always made it really difficult to win. And that's why I think what the Warriors did was so special and coincided with them getting Durant and all the rest. But like they won their 2015 championship team, if you look at their salaries, kind of similar to how the Thunders was set
Absolutely.
Up. Curry was on a great contract. Shea was on a bigger deal, but was on a nice contract. J-Dub and Chet were on rookie deals. Like, they were able to thread this financial needle that doesn't happen often. And sometimes it's like you're planning to do it. Other times, I think you just kind of get lucky.
Well, that's like the difference between the Celtics and the Thunder. The Celtics were the latest example before the Thunder of the Warriors in 2015, where you have young player drafted, really smart acquisition of a guy who wasn't wanted in one place, and I'm talking about Derek White, and you plop him in your roster, and he performs amazingly. Like, the Celtics were very much like the 2015 Warriors in that sense, and just like OKC was this year. The difference with the Celtics was they didn't win their championship early enough. The Warriors won in 2015 when, as you laid out, they had Curry on a great deal and you have a rookie scale Draymond and Klay before major extension. And you were able to ride that to Kevin Durant and then all the greatness that we have seen since then. The Celtics, they just kept knocking on the door. They were knock, knock, knocking for like four straight years. They go to the finals in 2022 and they lose to the Warriors, who were hanging on for dear life at that stage in their dynasty. They did not win the championship early enough to give them the long window that OKC is now looking at. Like, if they had won, what year did they go to the Eastern Finals for the first time? I'll have to go and look and find out. But they had multiple runs deep into the Eastern playoffs and didn't make it. The difference between OKC is the first time they had a major run in the playoffs, they ultimately won it all. And now they're looking at going for number two before those gigantic deals even kicked in. Meanwhile, Boston, they won their number one, their first championship, when all those deals had already kicked in. And then you have one hiccup of a year, and suddenly, not a major reset, but at least a partial reset. And then it's looking even more difficult for you to get back there in the first place. So it's just limiting the amount of time you have to see a run out. And it's what you said. I don't know if it was on the air or before we got on the air. It sets your clock when you sign these major deals. And when Boston signed their deals and failed to win it all until a few years into those deals, they didn't have a lot of window left. OKC still has a bunch left. But that's the reality, I think, in the new era of the NBA, where you got a $70 million dude on your deal. You don't have a lot of time to get it done because you will ultimately be a repeat offender and your team will have to get out of that in order to kind of reset things.
Maybe I'm not hearing everything you're saying. Like, like Boston paid to keep it together. A lot of people disagree that that was the right thing to do. You got to choose Tatum or you got to choose Brown. And they paid to keep them together and eventually it worked in getting a championship. What I'm saying is what they did this offseason is identified which players they don't think are worth the contract that they're going to be paid in 2 years. The Thunder, by all accounts, caught a break because the Eastern Conference was decimated. I think they would have ran into trouble with Boston if they were going to stay healthy. But I do agree that the clock has now begun to tick on OKC, but I don't know so much if it's begun to tick on the players that they paid. To me, it's the players around them. Like, again, it's the Lou Dortz.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. host a local event, and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run Finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart. For a healthier you, Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply. Issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
It's the Isaiah Joes. It's the Hartensteins. Like, I think that OKC will be able to keep SGA, J-Dub, and Holmgren together, assuming nobody gets hurt. I think that those three players could finish out their contracts, assuming that the Thunder want to pay, you know, pay a tax and dip into the aprons. But like Boston, to me, it's I think that was a smart move of what they made this summer. Like, and I hear people saying that, you know, Drew Holiday is a good player, but if you don't think he's going to be that at age 36, then the time to get off of him is right now. And same for Porzingis. So I think that, well, they also have a little more leeway because they play in the East. The East is going to be more open in a couple of years. I mean, to me, it's like those are questions that these potential young or in their prime teams have, because they can think about 5 years from now, as opposed to a team like the Warriors, who literally can just think about two seasons.
Yeah, I think this, for me, is... like, I don't disagree with what the Celtics did. Like, they're staring the realities of the CBA in the face, and they're looking at, all right, what's the best way about this? And in their mind, it was, all right, Tatum's going to be out for the entire year. We're staring at repeat offender status. We want to duck out of that, and we're going to try our best to win this year, but we don't feel like this is the year to push our, you know, push all of our chips in the middle of the table. And why would you feel that way? I think what they did this offseason... what they have done this offseason was, frankly, the prudent and the smart thing. But the reason why it is that way is partially because of the new CBA and because of the contracts they signed to get to this point in the first place. Now, it was also, I'm with you, a smart thing to do, in my opinion, because when you have the roster that the Celtics had going into their championship year, which everybody thought was far and away the best roster in basketball, you push your chips in and you go for it. But you know you've got like one real shot at this right now. Like, you might have shots down the road if you reset and you make smart moves and you draft well and you get another Derek White from the Spurs before he becomes Derek White, and you have him on a cheap deal, and you get a major, major, huge pendulum swinging transaction, and you can make things work. Like, you still have an opportunity to win, but you will never have a better opportunity than just that 1 year. And the reason why is because teams are staring the reality of that CBA in the eyes and saying, all right, like, we no longer can just give this four straight tries. Unless you are a team like OKC that can continue to swap out all your young guys year after year after year.
But how many teams really get to say that we can stare at this four straight times? Teams that are dynastic. And again, the Warriors...
well, the Celtics did that before even winning one, is what I'm saying.
Well, that's because they had the benefit of guys... So, Jason Tatum, yes, when they first made the conference finals, it was, I think, 2018. Jason Tatum was in the Eastern Conference Finals his rookie season.
Yeah.
So yeah, you can say, oh, well, I think we're going to be set up to be competitive. Like, you have him on 4 years, and then you pay him for the next 4 years, and now he's on the back end of the Supermax. Like, it does depend on how good your players are immediately. And so the Celtics are at the point where they have to pay the piper like any team. Like, Jason Tatum's been in this league for like damn near 10 years, it feels like. And same for Jaylen Brown. So this is typically the point where you have to make a choice about your big salary players. Like, it doesn't matter so much to me about the era as it is guys are going to reveal how good they are and how well they can play moving into an advanced portion of their career.
What happens if, Steph Curry gets to the end of this contract? And by the way, if you missed it, Anthony Slater earlier today essentially has, I don't know if he's been following Steph around on the golf course up at Edgewood, but Steph was asked how long he plans to play in the NBA, and he essentially said, I don't know, I'm taking it 2 years at a time. That's all I have left on my contract. What happens if at the end of this Steph Curry contract, he comes off the books after, not this year, but the following year, where he's making $62.5 million, and he says, all right, Joe, all right, Mike, all right, Steve, if Steve's still there, I want a 1 year or 2 year maximum contract. The Warriors have to do it, right? I mean, you absolutely have to, but you stare at that contract and you say, it's going to be hard for us to field anything competitive with that kind of money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially because you're 37, 38, 39 years old.
Well, it's as much, I mean, like Curry you pay. That's a foregone conclusion. But it's not just about him. Like, if you have a contract and you're paying a player and you're not getting the production, like, this is a league-wide thing. If that player who is a max salary dude is not a top 10 player or top 5 player, then, yeah, you're probably not going to be competing for championships. And if you think that Steph Curry at age 39 is, God forbid, not going to be a 5 or top 10 player, which is like a fair assumption.
Yes.
I know he's defying all age, but like, I wouldn't assume that he's still going to be at this level in 2 years. Then that conversation is very much like, Steph, we will give you the max. You have earned it. You've given everything to this franchise. However, that's going to make it extremely difficult for you to compete. What do you want to do? And if he says, give me the max, then
you give it to him.
You give it to him.
You have to.
You have to.
No other choice.
Well, there is a choice, but it's not an easy one.
Well, you're not making that choice. If he asks for it, you're giving it to him.
Yeah, and I think it's well within his right to ask for it. But
Absolutely. That's
the rock and hard place. You know, I think the bigger issue that the Warriors have, though, is the conversation they have about the second biggest contract. Like, again, you know, you're looking at the Warriors, and I think that this has to be the last season. And I know that these guys are in a contract for two more years, but I'm serious. Like, this has to be the last year that you have two guys that are making the most that they possibly can. Like, you can't have two aging, in some cases, overpriced and could prove to be overpriced max salary slots on your roster. We've seen what happened this free agency. It's just way too hard to construct a good team around two guys that are not playing at the level you're paying them. And really, Jimmy Butler is the guy that I'm looking at. You know, Steph, if you look at his numbers for the season, fell off a bit. When they got Jimmy, he played a lot better. Still second team All-NBA. That's fine. So he's still a top 10 player. Jimmy Butler, I don't believe he's going to make an All-NBA team again in his career. That means he's not a top 15 player anymore. And that player cannot be making $55 to $60 million and you expect to put together the best roster possible. That to me is CBA 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever CBA you're talking about. The reality is if you got two $50-plus million players on your roster, and one of them ain't that guy, it's going to be damn tough for you to do anything.
So what are you saying? You're saying after this year, the Warriors got to trade Jimmy Butler?
They got to try to get... Well, unless he proves me wrong, which that's fine, do it. But if... Yeah, that's what I'm saying, is that I think this is the last year they can have two top 10 paid players on their team.
$54 million for Jimmy Butler this year, along with 59.6 for Steph. And then at 26-27 a year from now, 62.6 for Steph and 56.8 for Jimmy. Those are the numbers over the next 2 years for those guys.
It's a lot of freaking money.
And then they become unrestricted free agents, and we will see how it plays out at that point, of course. In terms of this year for the Warriors, we don't have anything new on the Jonathan Kuminga front. Although Steph Curry maybe let one slip earlier today, Anthony Slater, following him around up in Tahoe, wrote this. When Steph was asked about the idea of Al Horford joining the Warriors, Steph, quote, "He's a champion, a great player. When or if, when all that stuff happens, I'll talk about it." So maybe Steph, a Freudian slip, maybe admitting potentially that there was a handshake agreement in place for Al Horford. But we don't really need that, I think, from Steph to know what the Warriors' plan is this offseason. I don't know if you read what Ron Krojcik of the Chronicle wrote, who's also up there in Tahoe following Steph Curry around. He got a chance to chat with Steph yesterday. Ron wrote, and this comes, again, from Ron, but from Steph specifically. Steph, quote, "I look at our last 30 games, and after Jimmy got here, I think we were top three in net rating. Obviously, for us, it's about being healthy and getting through a season. I think with the core we have, if we're healthy, we can compete with anybody." He continued, "Look at the body of work. That's a big enough sample size to know we have something to work with. Now we're just trying to get better around the margins." That's all the Warriors' goal is, get better around the margins. They think they're good enough, led by Steph and Jimmy elsewhere, to win a championship. All they need to do is get better around the margins, Evan.
I think they're good enough to play meaningful basketball, but I don't think this team is a championship team as currently constructed, even if you include Horford and Melton. You know, maybe some things fall their way, but I'm looking at a Western Conference like right now, just on paper, and you can assume they have Horford and Melton if you'd like, but where do you think that they would, like, power rank in the West right now?
Let me just bring them up so I have the teams in front of me here.
So, OKC, Houston, I think the Lakers came in third last year.
Denver was fourth.
And then the Clippers were fifth.
And Minnesota sixth, Warriors seventh.
Did they tie or did Minnesota clear them by a whole game?
A whole game. They cleared them. OKC's clearly a better basketball team than the Warriors. I think you could safely assume the Rockets are also a better basketball team than the Warriors. They were better last year in the regular season. The Warriors beat them in the playoffs, but they add KD. They definitely got better. The Nuggets got better and were already better than the Warriors. They're a better team than the Warriors. Minnesota was weird last year. I think you would expect them to have a more straightforward year this year, although they lost Nikhil Alexander-Walker, but they got back their other important guys. And you.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide, or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball, the game's official home for games, is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation while they collect dust? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With a Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus. To kickstart your rewards, visit Gemini.com/card today. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy. Issued by WebBank, in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.
Expect Anthony Edwards to continue to improve. I think the very, very, very highest you could potentially put the Warriors is fourth at best. But they're probably more like somewhere around five or six, probably is where I would suggest the Warriors are.
Yeah, and at that point, you're looking to catch some breaks. You know, again, it's not like you go into season and say, oh, you know, we can't do it. Like, they're trying the best that they can. And that's why I think that Curry's talking about on the margins, because he recognizes that they can't really do anything wholesale. They are strapped. You know, they are going to have to rely on their young players getting better and their older players staying at about the same, or really just remaining healthy. Mm. You know, I don't know if you can expect Curry and Jimmy and Draymond to like be better players, but I think you can attribute some of their, you know, I don't know, Draymond, for example, maybe Jimmy once Curry went down. It's like you can attribute some of their fall off to just not being 100% 7 months into a season in which they've already played 90 games of basketball.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, maybe not those two guys, but you know what I'm saying? Like, I think that the Warriors right now, it's not just that they haven't done anything, Grandy, it's that they really can't. You know, again, I'm assuming that Horford signs with them and that Melton also signs with them. And I think both those players do help them. But are they going to make them markedly better than last year? That's a doubt that is certainly in my mind.
Okay, well, this is interesting because
they made the semifinals.
And they didn't have a full year of Jimmy. And now I know that you could also say that the Warriors this past year were a team that got relatively lucky in terms of health, right? Like, Steph was largely healthy, Draymond was largely healthy, and he stayed available. He didn't get suspended like he did the year prior for two separate stints. Now you had the Kuminga injury, and that was well documented, and when the injury happened, it was a big deal because he was playing really meaningful minutes and was really good before he got hurt. But once Jimmy got in here, that absence was less impactful. So there's a world where, yeah, you have Jimmy for a whole year, but each of your big three missed 20 games of the season, and that kind of like washes each other out. But there's also a reality where you have similar health overall, you know, luck, and you have a full season of Jimmy, and instead of having to chase down a playoff spot the final 2 months of the year, you're just like able to kind of casually play out the year, not like give up the final month of the year, but you feel pretty comfortable locked into a top six seed in the West, and therefore you feel better and more prepared going into the postseason. Like, losing Looney and losing GP2 and, say, adding Horford and Melton, it doesn't make them 10 times better, but I think they're a better basketball team with those additions, even if Kuminga is still here, or even if Kuminga is not, and all you get is the Kings' offer of Devin Carter and Dario Saric. Like, I think that's a better Warriors basketball team than this past year.
Wait, what? Wait, so if they traded Kuminga for Saric and Carter,
and you get Melton and Horford, I think that's better than last year. When you lose Looney and GP2, I think that's a better basketball team than last year. And you have a full year.
Than the one they finished with.
I'm not talking about the one early in the season. And the one they finished with, yes.
Oof.
When they finished with, you weren't even playing Kuminga. So what is the absence there? And you were hardly playing Looney. And GP2 is unreliable.
Well, I mean, the absence to me is, you tell me I got to play Horford and Saric at the five.
I mean,
I think a combination of Looney, TJD, and Post, like, that's a wash.
I just threw out Saric as just the name.
And I know I can get something from Kuminga. I know I can get something from him.
But there's a chance where if you have Kuminga on the roster, you might not be able to get both Horford and Melton, depending on what the contracts turn out to be. I'm just saying, I think largely if you gain Horford and you gain Melton, that is a better combo than Looney and GP2. And those are like the like-for-like absences.
But again, I think you're assuming health for everyone. And that is something that is obviously an unknown. But like Jimmy Butler has averaged 55 games a year for the last six regular seasons. Or at least when he was in Miami. Al Horford is not going to play back-to-backs. He hasn't for a couple seasons now. DeAnthony Melton just tore his ACL. And is not probably going to be helped along. Yeah, I agree. By the end of the season, you could get to a point where maybe you feel better about your five going in, but that's a long season. And Draymond has also, I think the last time he played this many games was in his contract year. Like, they're just a very fragile, like, Jenga tower right now. And you know, you're just going to be like, this season is really going to be about load management. And that's what might frustrate people the most watching him night to night. It's like, all right, who's in, who's out, who's Kerr keeping in 25 minutes? Why is he not chasing this game? Why is Curry only playing 4 minutes of the fourth quarter because he needed him to play the full, you know, it's like, it's going to be a lot of mix and match. And I just think that's kind of the future that they're staring at, which to me, I'm hoping could be 48 wins again. But it means there's even more pressure to win the games that you're whole, which aren't always a given. So, like, if Jimmy Butler plays 70 games next year, tip my cap. Like, thank you. I do not think Jimmy Butler is going to play 70 games next season. I don't think that Draymond Green's going to play 70 games next season. And if they do, maybe the Warriors can still get to, you know, a top six seed. But to me, that's kind of the goal. And that's why they're going to be chasing games, is because they're still going to want to get out of the play-in. And we just did the exercise. I think they're a five or a six, which in the West is probably going to be a two or three game difference between being in the play-in where they were last year and got out of, and staring at a first round series.
Yeah, maybe. Possibly. I mean, the West is a bear. There's like no doubt. I'm not saying that I think the Warriors, and we're assuming quite a bit here about the Horford and Melton deals, although I do feel pretty confident that at least with Horford, there is like a handshake agreement in place, and once Kuminga figures it out, the Warriors figure out the Kuminga situation, Horford will be a Golden State Warrior, and that's not me reporting anything. That's just my read on the situation.
I'm with you there. Yeah, I think that's going to happen.
I think so, too. I don't think that takes the Warriors from a 48-win team to a 55-win team, those changes. But you get a relatively straightforward year of health. I know that's a big if, but that's the case for literally everybody. I don't think it's wild that you add Horford and you add Melton, and you can't assume that that team is going to be better than the one from this past year. There's a lot of ifs. Like, of course there's ifs, and the Warriors have the biggest ifs of them all because they are old as hell and older than anybody else, but that was also the case this past year, and they were pretty damn healthy.
The other thing that I think we can assume at this point is, well, maybe not assume, I'm assuming that Kuminga is going to be back. Is it? Do you agree with that?
I think that's the most likely scenario.
Okay, so the biggest decision that the Warriors are going to have to make next season, I think, is what they trade him for, and how much better that makes them after December 15th.
I trade him at the deadline, you mean?
Or whenever he's eligible.
Yeah, yeah, which would be before the deadline.
Luke says we gotta go.
We gotta go? Oh, okay. Before we go, I do have to let you know that next week is our All-Star Week prize blowout, and we have some incredible things to give away, like Warriors prize packs, Giants prize packs, a day pass to Outside Lands, 4-day passes to Aftershock, gift cards to the Valkyries merch store, and also a gift cards to Laughing Monk Brewing. Listen at 7:30 in the morning, 12:30 in the afternoon, and 4:30 in the afternoon for your chance to win every single day next week. Again, every show, every day, and it all starts on Monday. Looking forward to that all week next week. Okay, one final segment with you. Did Giannis confirm he's going back to the Bucks? We'll let you hear why we're saying that when we come back. It's Willard and Dibs. But Grandy and Evanin will wrap things up next on 95.7 The Game.
Now, back to
Willard and Wibbs
on 95.7 The Game.
Welcome back. No Willard, no Dibs today. It's Grandy and Evan with you. Willard will be back tomorrow. Dibs off for the rest of the week. He'll be back on Monday. And on Monday, Dibs will be live from Vegas for Las Vegas Summer League, which kicks off, it's underway right now. I think we got Cooper Flagg and Bronny James battling.
Oh, I thought you were going to say you're going to get him on. It's like, wow.
You'd like to talk to Cooper Flagg. That'd be cool. What is the score of that
game?
He's
actually a pretty good quote. Let's see. Well, I'd encourage people to stay here instead, but well, you're going to be in Vegas, right?
I will be in Vegas as well. Yeah.
You looking forward to that?
Oh, yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun.
What's your poison?
I mean, I'm going to lay some bets down.
Penny slots?
I'll play some blackjack.
$5 hands, 20, 50.
50 is a little too steep for my blood. I'll go to the $20 hands.
Oh, I thought things have been going well for you lately.
Oh, I mean, I'm doing okay, but I don't want to throw it all away.
Or win more.
I believe in my ability to win, but I'm not that much.
Just go full Galifianakis. I mean, you just study up this
count
weekend.
Cards?
Yeah, hit the tables. Come back with enough to
get kicked out of the casino.
No, pay for everybody's drinks next week.
Okay, that will be my goal.
If you get kicked out of the casino, you're doing real well.
That will be my goal, but I don't necessarily believe it's going to happen. I can't find a score of this game. Where is it?
Because
who cares?
The game doesn't exist. It's an exhibition. Thank you, Lucas.
I've been looking this whole time on ESPN.com. Dallas up 5?
It's Summer League.
How's Cooper Flagg looking?
Good.
Okay.
White.
Cool.
He's looking white. Cool. The thing is, and I do agree with the people that Guru was, I don't know if that was on air. I'll say it anyways. During the commercial break,
he was not on air.
He was pointing at there was a television channel on VSiN and Vegas sports information, betting, whatever. So
a betting network.
A betting network. Yes. And the headline was essentially, if you're betting on Summer League basketball,
you got a problem.
You need help. I agree completely. And the fact that you even had to try and scrounge for the score and couldn't find it wasn't easily accessible at your fingertips illustrates just how much people who are betting on Summer League need to get help. Goo, I'm hosting with him tomorrow, and I'll tell him that to his face. But we need to talk. We got 4 hours tomorrow to get this done. You need to get off of Summer League. Everybody stop betting on these guys you've never seen before. Some of them you may never see again. And even like Cooper Flagg, it's his Mavericks debut. Is that what they're marketing it as?
Goo told me it was his preseason debut. I'm like, Goo, I got news for you.
He said it was his NBA debut.
This ain't the preseason, bro.
What's up, man? Yeah, dude, it is all bad if you're throwing on Bronny James in Summer League. What, he's got to have over 2.5 threes?
Oh, God. I asked him after we all read that headline on the TV, I asked him, Goo, have you ever bet on the Summer League? He was like, yeah, as if it was in the past. And I said, Goo, did you bet on the game tonight? He's like, no comment. Like, Goo.
Yeah, his neighbor bets on a lot of things.
His neighbor.
Look, I bet on stuff too. I just, would prefer to be able to know something about what I'm betting on.
Like Dibs bets on the Little League World Series. What's worse?
That's a crime. You should not be gambling on children.
There's an edge to be had there.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you, and I realize you can bet on anything, so I can't really kill him for it, but it should be a sin. If you walked up to, does Windsor have a Little League?
Yeah.
Okay, so you're from Windsor. Windsor Little League, the WLL. You walk up to the local ballpark and you see a couple of 11-under teams going at it in the middle of the fourth inning. If you walked up to a parent and said, hey, they're down 5-4. Yeah, can I get money line on the Windsor Lemurs?
Lemurs.
And the parent would look at you and say, "You need help. Get out of here."
Well, yeah, I don't go up to a parent. I go find the bookie,
who's probably a parent. Who's probably a parent. My point is, you can't gamble on children. You gotta leave them alone. They already got enough problems.
Yeah, there's an edge. They're playing on TV.
There's an edge.
They're playing on TV.
As long as there's an edge. They're not horses, for God's sakes.
There's more of an edge in the Little League World Series than on horses.
Yeah, because I'm sure everyone here has watched El Cajon's California team the entire way and seen Robert Zapata be able to throw 76 miles an hour.
I don't know how I got to be defending Dibs in this situation, but I don't like it, so I'm going to move on.
That's a good piece of advice.
Giannis. You remember when Warrior fans were
dreaming? Yeah, he can have it too.
Remember when Warrior fans were dreaming for Giannis?
Well,
is that still happening?
Play the sound.
This is Giannis on a live stream with iShow Speed, commonly known as Just Speed. Giannis staying in Milwaukee, maybe? Here's Giannis.
LA, the tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah.
Hell nah.
A lot of people have tried to convince me to go and play there. And stuff.
Oh, no. So you staying in Milwaukee?
Probably. We'll see. See. Probably. I love Milwaukee.
And that's a church right there.
That wasn't too convincing. And just for the context, they're in Greece. Giannis, I imagine, is showing Speed around a little bit. So that's why he pointed out a church. But his answer, you staying in Milwaukee, was not very convincing to me.
Yeah, so for people who, shout out Patrick Starr, live under a rock, Speed is a worldwide streamer, like on Twitch, and he has his own stream.
One of the most popular streamers in the world.
Yes, so he gets big name guests. And I guess he was in Greece. He also had some other video of him doing like backflips into shark infested waters. But he was talking with Giannis somehow, and he just asked him if he was going back to Milwaukee. When I read the quote, because it's all over like ESPN and Yahoo.
Yeah.
Probably. I love Milwaukee. I'm like, God damn it.
He's staying.
Yeah, he's not going
he's
anywhere.
A buck for life.
But then, can you please play that one more time?
Yeah, here it is.
LA, the tax is bad. New York tax is bad.
Yeah.
Hell nah.
A lot of people have tried to convince me to go and play there and stuff.
Oh, nah.
No.
So you staying in Milwaukee?
Probably. We'll see. See. Probably. I love Milwaukee.
And that's a church right there.
He says, probably, we'll see. And then a long pause, and probably, I love Milwaukee.
That was Speed, by the way. He sounded so uncomfortable answering that question. I'm sorry, I'm not buying it. Like, he might, and probably, in his own words, we'll be back with Milwaukee next year. I'm not buying that it's a foregone conclusion.
I'm with you.
That did not sound convincing at all. And in fact, I don't think, number one, he knew that Speed was going to ask him that. And number two, the moment you start trying to draw someone's attention away to a probably beautiful, likely 14th century church, it means you're deflecting. You don't want to talk about what the next follow-up question is going to be. And so instead of waiting for Speed to break the awkward silence by saying, you go, oh, look at that. That's a church.
I'm with you. It was a classic Steve Kerr. Hey, Giannis, you think you're going to stay in Milwaukee?
I do, but...
Classic. Like, maybe. Yeah, I think so. We'll see, but I don't know. Maybe.
Yeah, I don't think he does know. And I think that Giannis is still waiting to see if there's something out there that potentially entices him. I do agree, though, like the first part when Speed's like, you don't want to go to New York, you don't want to go to LA, the city taxes and all that stuff sucks. Like, I actually believe that Giannis wouldn't want to play in Lakerland. I don't think he'd want to play in LA.
No, I don't think
the Nets, maybe.
The Nets? Definitely not the Knicks.
They got a lot of cap space. Or they did. They just don't
they
want
still
to
have some. They still have more than anybody else. That's because nobody else has any. But
and it would be in the East. Yeah, I mean,
he should want to stay in the East wherever he goes.
Should petition to move the Warriors to the East.
That would make things better. That's all the time we got for today. Coming up next on 95.7 The Game, it's Best of the Game.
What's
brought
up,
to you
Luke?
By Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good. What do we got coming up, Luke?
I don't know what you guys talked about on Crossover. There were like 50 different things, but that's where we're going to start.
Oh, we just kept asking Steiny what they had talked about, and he didn't have an answer. So that's all that was, basically.
It was about, would you accept a gift from a celebrity?
Oh, yeah.
And Steiny evidently would not, when we all know that in real life he would. And so we batted that around for a bit. And then I think Goo... Oh, yeah, from there it kind of went off
towards
the rails.
Towards the end, I asked if they were worried about Will Clark and Rafi Devers.
Oh, that's right, that's right.
That's how we began our show, but yeah. All right, anyways, that's coming up next. Hosted by Lucas Alexander. It's on the way next. Been a lot of fun. Shout out to my partner for the day, Evan. You can hear him tomorrow on Steiny and Goo, in for Steiny from 10 to 2. Of course, the morning show from 6 to 10. And then it'll be Willard and myself, Willard and Grandy, tomorrow from 2 to 6. On a Friday. For Evan, for Luke, for Ken, I'm Mark. Thanks for listening. We'll talk tomorrow on 95.7 The Game.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.